This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. Today we're going to be discussing something interesting. It's called the aorta and the elephant trunk. Now, if you're thinking literally, it's not. Elephant trunk is a certain procedure that, you know, that is used to fix the aorta when the aorta experiences an aneurysm. An aneurysm being an abnormal swelling of the aorta is what we're going to be discussing today. Dr. Paneerselvam Krishnamurthy, he's a consultant cardiothoracic surgeon from Institute Jantung Negara in the studio with me to help us understand the role of the aorta and how it helps and it's crucial in distributing oxygenated blood to all parts of the body. And he's going to be telling us a little bit more about what happens when you do experience an abnormal swelling of the aorta. Welcome to the show, Dr. Paneer. How are you today?
Yeah, thank you very much, Meera. I'm fine.
Let's quickly begin with the aorta, the structure of it, the role of it. Can you just explain to me what it's there for?
Okay. Aorta is the biggest pipeline in the body. It is indeed an organ by itself. And it origins just above the aortic valve from the heart. And it goes right down to our lower limbs. And along the way, it gives out branches to supply all organs in the body. It starts with giving out the first branch to the coronary, to the heart, and then subsequently neck vessels, which supplies the brain and the upper limbs, and further down into the abdomen supply the entire abdominal contents, and down into the lower limbs. So basically it's one of the important structure in the body and is the biggest pipeline.
Okay, so crucial indeed. Yeah. If anything happens to it, then we're deprived of oxygenated blood in many parts of the body, really.
Yes, certainly.
So when you talk about a swelling in the aorta, an abnormal swelling of the aorta, can that happen anywhere along this path?
Yes, indeed. Aneurysm or abnormal swelling of aorta or arterial can happen any part of the body. As it arises from the heart and moves and course throughout the body, so that any segment can swell up and cause problem. It's not only the bulging or swelling of the aorta that causes problem. It can also dissect. In a situation like uncontrolled hypertension, there can be an injury to the internal part of the aorta, and it can tear inside spontaneously and cause dissection and further compromise of blood supply to various organs.
Okay, so being hypertensive also puts you at risk of an aneurysm of the aorta.
Yeah, aneurysm as well as a dissection, which is another pathology commonly affect the aorta.
You know, I was reading that the statistics of patients suffering from an aneurysm and the causes of it is just 5 in 100,000. That may seem very low to me, but is that low? Would you consider that a low number?
You have to understand the aneurysms are the practically disease of the aging, right? So you see more common in patients after 60 years old. And now our population is moving, we are moving towards a developed nation, and more of us are living longer. So these 5 out of 100,000 of normal population may very well will go higher. But of course, there are also patients who presents very early, especially patients with some congenital diseases involving the connective tissue, which are the essential part of the aorta. So there's a defect in that. Therefore, these patients with the connective tissue diseases can develop aneurysm at a very young age, can even be around 30 years old.
Could you give me examples of these?
Connective tissues such as Marfan syndrome, Ehlers-Danlos, and some other rare congenital diseases. And this runs in the family and usually is transmitted genetically from one family members to another.
When I say 5 in 100,000, do you think it's an understated number given that some of the people who are of high risk of an aortic aneurysm include just not people in the old age, but people who are hypertensive, people who have high cholesterol, people who smoke, and people who lead a sedentary lifestyle. And that seems to be Malaysia, as we speak.
Yeah,
you know. So I'm just asking if that number is understated.
Yes, you have to understand, these are the quotes that we get from Western countries and as well as some other Asian countries. If you look into our own populations, studies are being done, and in fact, some of them have reported even higher than this incidence.
Okay, yeah. So are you seeing more people coming in with an aortic aneurysm in IGN?
Yes, we certainly, because IGN is one of the primary center where we deal with these kind of problems, and we do these complex surgeries in IGN. So we are some sort of like a tertiary center and absorbing referrals from all over Malaysia.
Okay, so what sort of aortic aneurysms are you seeing? Are you seeing a lower age, a younger group of people coming in with this condition, or is it still pretty much the older people?
It's more or less a mixed pattern, because since we are the tertiary center and we do have a lot of connective tissue diseases, and I mentioned to you earlier that patients with connective tissue, they tend to present very early, somewhere around 30s, very young. And also patients who are, the other extreme group is the degenerative disease secondary to atherosclerosis or uncontrolled hypertension, and also hyperlipidemia and so on, sedentary lifestyle, smoking. All these tend to come a little bit older age group, perhaps somewhere around the 50 to 60s.
What are the symptoms of an enlarged aorta? How do you know it's actually going to give you problems?
Okay. This aneurysm can affect any segment of aorta. As I told you, aorta extends like a long pipe right from the heart down to your lower limbs. So any segment can be involved. And at the segments which are affected will give rise generally when you blow a balloon. Let's say you balloon. What happens to the balloon is the balloon gets bigger, but you can see the wall get thinner. The stretching of a balloon actually causes pain, because the nerves that runs around your aorta carries the pain impulse. So pain is the main cause of these presentations. If you have a segment aorta right in your chest, then it'll cause pain because of stretching and increasing size. And the other possible is, since it gets bigger and bigger, it can compress surrounding structures. So if it compresses your airways, you can get breathlessness. If it compresses the airway, you can get cough. It compresses the nerves, it can cause paresis of the nerves, and sometimes people can change vocal cord changes and some weaknesses of the breathing muscles and so on. If it happens in your abdomen, then this pain is one of the main cause again there. And also it can cause pulsation. If you're very thin, you can see actually you're pulsating abdomen.
Okay, all right. And what about the lower limbs?
The lower limbs, generally, they also can, because the lower limb, the aorta runs fairly superficial to your skin. You can see a pulsation there. You can experience pain. Or sometimes you can also have a pain in your calf muscles, because when there is a swelling, the clot forms inside the swelling and it get dislodged. And it go and block smaller vessels periphery, and they can give rise to pain.
Okay, in the feet area.
Feet areas and numbnesses.
Okay. And is it easy to miss this diagnosis when, you know, you have pain, you go to the GP and, you know, is it easy? I mean, is the GP alert enough to actually pick this up?
The problem is aneurysm or dissection doesn't come first thing in mind. As you say, rightfully, it's 5 out of 100,000. Perhaps it's not just common as common cold you get out there in the population. So patients can be missed. For instance, if you have a severe chest pain happening or pain happening in the chest, the first thing that comes to me, you might be having a heart attack or chest pain. So the last thing that's in mind is the aneurysms. So in that case, it can be easily missed. But you won't have to have a high alert. And with all the presence of risk factors, the suspicion has to be there.
Okay. And how do you be alert about this?
We, of course, with the presence of risk factors, if your patient comes to you with a connective tissue disease and very classical look of a syndrome, and is a young patient complaining chest pain, I won't think of heart attack first. I would think of aneurysms or dissections. So based on the risk factors and as well as some simple tests that you can do to detect them, then maybe we will be able to detect before any further complication happens.
What are these simple tests?
Simple tests, for instance, like if you have a segment of aorta suspected aneurysm of in the chest, you can do a simple X-ray which can show a widened mediastinum. Or you can even further, if you high suspicion, you probably the best way to go about it to do a computer tomography, a CT scan of the thorax, all the way from top to the even to the abdomen. In the abdomen, then triple, what you call abdominal aortic aneurysm, you can pick up easily with ultrasound, bedside.
Okay, so that's how it's usually diagnosed. Yeah, yes. Even if they come to you, you would do the same
diagnostic procedures.
What is the progression of this disease? What if it is left untreated or, you know, you don't pick it up?
See, in this one disease, size matters.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. So if you get bigger and bigger, so the chances of it to rupture is very high. Or even dissect. So either is rupture or dissection is a dreadful complication, carries a high mortality or fatal, is a fatal outcome. So we want to catch them before you reach this level. So if the segment, the normal size of the segment of adult aorta is usually less than 4 centimeter diameter. But anything bigger than or larger than this 4 centimeter is considered aneurysm. But if they reach a critical size, let's say you come to me with 5 centimeter at the upper part of the aorta in the chest, that is an indication to intervene.
Okay. And what do you mean by aortic dissection?
A dissection, as I mentioned earlier, is the internal tear of in the spontaneous internal tear that happens inside the aorta. So when they tear and separate the wall of the aorta, the blood seeps in between and cause a dissection all the way down, separating the wall. So this, what is the consequence of this is it weakens the wall. So with the pumping of the heart and transmission of pressure, it can easily rupture.
I see. Okay. So it just precipitates
yes,
the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. We're discussing the aorta and the elephant trunk. We're going to come back and find out what this elephant trunk really is. Mm-hmm. But what we're trying to bring to light in today's interviews is something called an aortic aneurysm, which is the abnormal swelling of your aorta, which is crucial in distributing oxygenated blood to all parts of the body, just not the heart. As Dr. Panirselvam explained, all the way from your heart down to your lower limbs, your feet. And this can happen anywhere along that passage. And what happens is your aorta is actually expanding, as you said. It gets enlarged like a balloon before it ruptures if it's not caught in time. Although just 5 out of 100,000 people is the rate of which it happens or the risks of it happening. The problem is due to either old age, hypertension, you have high cholesterol levels, smoking, you have a congenital defect, or connective tissue diseases, which you know, seem to be quite common for this sort of condition. So we'll come back and find out more about how do you fix this problem if you do, in fact, catch it on time. Up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. In the studio with me, Dr. Panirselvam Krishnamurthy. He's a consultant cardiothoracic surgeon from Institute Jantung Negara. We are discussing your aorta and how to actually, you know, pick up signs of an abnormal swelling of your aorta, which distributes oxygenated blood to all parts of your body. Terribly, terribly crucial part of the anatomy for our survival. So, you know, IGN has done very well with something called the elephant trunk. You want to explain to me what that is and how that is used to treat aortic aneurysm?
Yes. Elephant trunk is classically described way back in 1980s. Those days, we used a Dacron graft, it is an artificial tube, to replace the disease segments of the aorta. So now we have moved forward, and apart from doing open surgery, we also advocate and do offer treatment of endovascular repair of aorta. So this frozen elephant trunk is a concept or technique which incorporates both of these methods. Some part of the graft that we call a graft to replace the diseased aorta is flexible Dacron graft with a 3-branch for the neck vessels to anastomose to continue the supply to the brain and upper limbs. And the distal portion of the graft is made of a stent, which we will place that into the the distal and the lower part of the aorta in your chest going towards the abdomen.
Okay, you completely lost me there. Let's go back into the aorta. Mm. And as you mentioned, there are tears inside it.
Mm.
And you said with the blood seeping into that tear, it sort of creates a dissection along.
Mm.
And that can be a problem. Mm. So now with the elephant trunk, what are you actually doing? You're going into the aorta. What are you actually doing?
We are basically replacing the diseased part of the aorta altogether.
Which is the diseased part would be?
The diseased... This elephant trunk concept is we can treat a long segment aorta in a single procedure.
Okay. So this tear is going down.
Yes. If the tear starts, most often the tear or the swelling happens in the ascending. That means the beginning of the aorta of just coming out of the heart.
Heart, okay.
So if that segment is diseased and as well as the arch, when it moves towards your neck, where you give branches to your brain and the upper limbs, and then it turns down and go towards your descending part, which go towards, transgresses through your chest into your abdomen.
And the lower limbs
lower
after?
Limbs, yes. So it's a long passage and long pipeline.
Okay.
As I mentioned, if there are instances where the disease does not confine to one segment, it doesn't confine to ascending aorta, it may also involve in the arch, or the descending part, what we call mega aortic syndrome. So this is the entire aorta is ballooned up. In these circumstances, we can use this frozen elephant trunk technique to replace the entire segment all the way down to the descending. So it's a very long segment and operation can be done in a single stage where previously without advent of this technique, we have to bring the patient for multiple operations.
I see. Okay, so now you can do it all at once.
One.
And how do you do this? Is it minimally invasive?
No. Generally, these operations is always not minimally invasive.
Cannot.
Because there are too many important structures surrounding it. And there's a lot of branches that arises supplying crucial organs.
Okay.
So minimally invasive at the moment is not the right way to do about it. We still have to open the chest.
Sure.
And we can perform this operation. But with the advent of technology and our understanding of our human body and aorta and the physiology, we have improvised, the technologies and the knowledge has improvised with time. So we can do this operation safely and in a single stage with a minimal complications.
What are you actually doing now during surgery? So you open up and then
yes,
what
we
are
open
you
up. We have to, this is a very complex surgery. So we open up the chest, we dissect all the vessels, the branches from the aorta, and we have to put this patient on the heart-lung machine. We call pump. So we connect this patient to the heart-lung machine and we cool down the circulation of the body to up to 18 degrees Celsius and we stop the circulation. We have to stop the circulation before we can replace the entire aorta. Otherwise, the whole blood will spill out.
This almost sounds like a heart bypass.
Yeah. Patients who we use... This heart-lung machine is considered open-heart surgery with a bypass machine.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not doing coronary artery bypass grafting here. So we use this machine to change, to take away the blood from the heart, to cool down so that we can have a moment of circulatory arrhythmia. We stop the circulation altogether to replace this complex segment and resume back the circulation and get the patient back.
Okay, all right. So you're replacing the aorta.
Yes, indeed.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah,
and
a lot of work,
really
a lot
risky?
Of stitching, yes.
And is it the whole aorta that you're actually replacing or just the parts that are experiencing abnormal swelling?
Yes, generally we limit to the disease segments. If ascending aorta is diseased, we just concentrate on replacing the ascending aorta. If the arch is diseased, we will replace the arch with a segment of artificial tubes.
I just imagine the ascending aorta that goes all the way down to your limbs is extremely long.
Yes, extremely long.
But are you replacing the whole thing?
We have done that in IGN, replacing the whole thing at one stage. It again depends on the complexity of the disease, the extent of the disease involving how many segments. So we can change the whole segments. if necessary, but it's a very big operation.
What do you do? I mean, you're just taking, you cut off the old one and just replace it with a new one?
It's not that simple as you say.
I'm sure it isn't. So are you bypassing? What are you actually doing?
Yeah. In most instances, we can continue the circulation. If a short segment aorta needed to be replaced, we can always continue the circulation to all the organs and we can just replace a short segment of it. We have technology and techniques to do so. But in particular case of frozen elephant trunk, in most instances, we cannot because it's a longer segment that we need to replace. So in these circumstances, we need to stop the circulation of the body for a while.
Okay.
So in order for that to do, we have to cool the body so that the metabolic requirement of all organs are brought down to minimal state.
Mm-hmm.
So in this short period of time, we need to do very quick surgery to replace the involved segments and start back the circulation to make sure that organs all come back.
How do you replace it?
Well, basically, we not chop and cut and sew,
well,
as you have to say.
That's what I'm
in a layman's term to say. But of course, we have to replace the disease, the abnormal swellings or dissected part, and then we connect the artificial tube and suture to the most healthy part of the segment, and make sure there's a continuity when we resume circulation.
Okay, so you're sort of in a way bypassing the affected.
We don't usually bypass. We resect it.
Okay.
We resect it and get the disease part out of the body and put in a new tube, artificial tube.
Okay. And there is something called the elephant trunk and the frozen elephant trunk.
Yes.
What is that and what's the difference?
So the frozen elephant trunk, you can see the distal segment exactly look like an elephant trunk. That is why the name derived.
Right.
So the concept is the distal part is made of a stent. So those stent will be introduced through the aorta to the distal segment of the aorta. That means the segment in the lower part of the chest or almost getting into the abdomen. So this part, we stent it so that we can cover it and protect that part. And we replace the entire arch and as well as an ascending because they also come as the other trunk, the other side. So it's a long segment of graft which we can use in a single stage to treat the ascending, the arch, and the descending thoracic. So it's a very long segment, which we cannot do previously because we have to do in two or three stages of operation. Now, with the advent of this graft, we can either replace the entire segment of the aorta by using this technique, frozen elephant trunk, where we can start right from the origin of the aorta, from the heart, replacing the ascending, the arch, and the descending in one stage of operation, which we can't do it previously without this new technology.
Okay. Mm. And what is the downtime time when after doing a surgery like this? What's happening when you put the patient in this? You're now restricting the blood flow of the patient's blood circulation during a procedure like this to enable you to do this elephant trunk surgery. What are the consequences of that when the patient actually recovers?
Yeah, when most often because of usage of hypothermia, that means extreme cold, reducing the body temperature, so we minimize the metabolic requirement of the various organs, and also most often we use a selective perfusion to the brain because brain is the most sensitive organ in our body compared to any other parts. So we need to maintain circulation to the brain. Oxygenated blood continues despite the interruption of the blood to other organs. So we do this technique, reducing the temperature and selective perfusion of the brains and the coronaries. We tend to maintain the function of the organs, especially vital organs, throughout the procedure. So this has helped us to preserve it. So after we completed the operation and we resume circulation to the entire body, most often, in more than 90% of the cases, the functions are preserved.
Okay.
Preserved, more than 90%.
So when you do this, what's happening to the heart?
The heart will be arrested as well. We'll give some chemical drugs to stop the heart temporarily. while the heart-lung machine takes over mm-hmm. and supply the blood to the rest of the organs until the temperature is reasonable to stop circulation for a while to continue resecting the disease part and replacing it with the artificial tube.
Okay, so would you say it's a complicated surgery to repair the aorta?
Yes, it is indeed. It's not done everywhere. It is done in a very highly specialized place and institute or center where there is enough experience to do this in a safe manner.
You know, you mentioned there's a graft material that you use mm-hmm. to actually replace the abnormal swelling or the area that's affected in the aorta. How long does this graft last? And do you need to visit the doctor all the time after surgery?
Yes, you have to understand this disease of aorta can affect any segments. Though we have replaced the disease part, the patient need to be followed up for a long time or perhaps the rest of his or her life.
Because it can happen in other parts.
Other segments, yes. First, to pick up if disease is happening in the other sites or other segments. And two is, once we have replaced the segments, generally, you will not have a problem at the replaced segments. So most often, we need to follow up to pick up whether disease is progressing in the other sites.
Okay, but the graft material, does it have a...
Most often, the graft, in most cases, the grafts, once it's done properly and there's no immediate complication, they tend to last for life. Except we hope that there will no infection sets in.
But that would you would know that in the early stages of
post-surgery? Usually we are not worried about early infections. Much later, late infections. Sometimes you must understand patients can get infection in any part of the body, and once it gets into your circulation, it can where does it go? It has to go through aorta.
Then it okay.
You can get different factor.
So
you can get a late presentation
anytime after. Yeah. So what happens to life after a surgery like this? Does it affect the patient in a big way?
If there is no obvious complications, early complication, and patient recovers well, and most often they can lead a normal lifestyle. They can lead a normal lifestyle. So though it's a big, complicated and complex operation, the survival is good. And as I say to you, what is important is a long-term follow-up to pick up problems that may arise in a different segments.
So post-surgery, this is like, if you say this is like a, what you would do during a bypass. So you are actually cutting the sternum and opening up the chest to get to the aorta?
Yes. So it depends on where, which segments are involved. So the approach can be different. Mm-hmm. And if you want to tackle the ascending arch or the arch, then you go through the opening up this breastbone, mm-hmm. the front. But if it involves the descending and going towards abdomen, then you turn the patient around and you may have to open your lateral part, the side of your chest.
Are the chances of other parts of the aorta getting affected high as well? I mean, because then you can't be going in and out of such a major surgery like this all the time.
Yes. We try to treat this patient as complete as possible. As you say rightfully, we don't want to go in and out all the time. So we try to give you a definitive treatment at that segment, whichever is involved. So if it happens in another segment, then we have to look into that.
Okay. Yeah. Chances of it happening. How many of these procedures have you done at IGN?
Well, we do also the whole range of aortic disease, I mean, operating on the aortic segments. But particularly this frozen elephant trunk, we started in 2016 and we have done more than 30 cases from now.
How are those patients doing?
Most of the patients are doing very well. In fact, almost 90%, 95% of the patients are alive and well and very minimal complications.
Okay. Do you think it's a very obscure sort of surgery? That is, do you think it is affordable and it is available to anyone and everyone who has an aortic aneurysm?
Aortic aneurysm surgery is a huge and complex surgery and involved, and it costs quite a bit.
Because, I can imagine.
Yeah,
I mean,
because it involves a lot of procedures. But we in IGN, we offer this service to all Malaysians and regardless what is the cost, because it is helped and funded by the foundations and the hospital and the government, and as well also some NGOs helps those. The main cause here is will be the graft. The graft itself, because it's a new technology, it's cost.
What's it made of?
It is made of Dacron's, and the part which is soft part, the tubes are made of Dacron's graft. But the stands are made of nitinol stands, special alloys.
Okay, metal, so yeah. Hence the cost is
hence
high.
The cost, yeah.
Is this done by a multidisciplinary team? I mean, you're the cardiothoracic surgeon. Who else is involved in surgery?
Basically,
like this?
It is a teamwork. Of course, primarily it's done by us, the cardiothoracic and vascular team. It is helped by the anesthetist because these are complex surgeries, so need a lot of preparations. The anesthetist, the perfusionist who runs the pump, of course, the nurses, and also the aftercare in ICU is important by the intensivists as well.
Can you opt for medical therapy instead of surgery if you have a aortic aneurysm?
No. It's a mechanical problem. You know, so with enlarging or it's already reached a critical level, there's only two options to treat this. One is the open surgery, going in and resecting the disease segment and replacing it with an artificial tube, or we can also do an endovascular repair. That means we go through the aorta and stent it internally. For these two methods. There are indications and certain criterias we can't use for all kind of patients and all segments.
Okay, so is everybody suitable for a frozen elephant trunk surgery then?
No, it depends. Again, I say that it depends on the site or the segment involved and the extent of involvement. We only usually use the elephant trunk for extensive aneurysm or mega aorta or dissection with the aneurysm formation involving the ascending arch and descending. Mm-hmm. So this is a huge operation.
Okay, yeah. So otherwise you just stent it?
Just stent it, or we can go in and operate and replace the short segments.
I see.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be as extensive as elephant trunk.
No, not necessary.
Okay, so you've done about 30 surgeries since 2016.
In this frozen elephant trunk.
That's right, since 2016. Yeah. What's your message to people on aortic aneurysm and what we should be doing to maybe avoid it so we don't have to land with you having to do this terribly extensive surgery? I mean, fingers crossed, we don't want to go through it. But what's your message?
I would advise the public that aortic disease or aortic dissection is a real disease that affects the entire segment of aorta. And it has some predisposing factors, such as, I said, as you grow older, aging, and also uncontrolled hypertension, hyperlipidemia, and smoking. If you have this kind of risk factor or family history of aneurysm before or dissection with a connective tissue disease disorders, it's best to follow up with the medical fraternity and to see and to detect it earlier. When you already have aneurysm, then you should be followed up closely to see whether it's causing you symptoms that I mentioned, mainly pain at the mm-hmm. segments. And even if it does not cause you pain, but it has reached a critical size and level, it should be intervened. And you should go to a center where they have a vast experience of dealing with these problems so that you get the best option and the best treatment. And the disease, though the complication of the disease is dreadful and fatal, but it can be prevented and can be saved. And any part of the segment aorta can be replaced. And believe me, we have done the whole thing from the origin to the lower limb. We have replaced it.
Okay, all right.
So it is feasible. It can be done with safety, but it has to be done in a high volume and a specialized center.
Enlightening indeed. Yeah. I would never have thought that, this is exactly what the aorta was actually doing. Yeah. Thank you for joining us today. Dr. Panirselvam Krishnamurthy, a consultant cardiothoracic surgeon from Institute Jantungnagara, speaking to us about the aorta and the frozen elephant trunk surgery on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.